Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Cher Slater Barlevy. She is from the left coast, the west coast. She has written a book called Dog of God. And it came to my attention that she's had some really cool experiences and a healing. And so I thought this would be awesome to talk to Cher. And so she is on the phone with me for this week's Out There. How are you doing, Cher?
I'm out there.
Came to the right show, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'm really excited about this. It's so much fun.
Now, are you in Los Angeles? Where are you at right now?
I'm in Venice Beach. Venice Beach, where all the weird people are.
All the muscle people are, right?
Muscles, everything. Everything happens down here.
So how long have you been a Californian?
I've been in California half my life, and I can't tell you how much that is because I'd have to kill you.
Well,
but I also live in Colorado. I have a place in Colorado.
Well, if we figure out in soul years, it's really a drop in the bucket, you know.
Ah, yeah. Just a little drop.
You're just a youngster in the soul years.
Yeah.
So, so the thing is, you've been out there for a good part of your life, and you've had these experiences. You've had a lot of unusual experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been most of your life?
No, actually, really weird experiences didn't happen until after I was in a car accident, and I was being told to get out of my car. I was okay at that point, but this little boy said, get out of the car because somebody's going to smash into the accident.
I'm sorry.
Well, when I got out of the car to walk across to get out of the way of everything, the man that ran into me was yelling in my face. He was just like, he wouldn't let me pass. And lo and behold, the accident happened. And I was pinned between my car and the Mercedes-Benz that hit me.
Mm.
So luckily it was a Mercedes-Benz because it was really low. And so it just got my ankle. I was very fortunate with that.
What year was that in, Cher? What year was that?
That was way back in the 71.
Okay.
January of 71.
And so this accident left you pretty well in pretty bad shape, right?
Actually, yes. I was in a walking cast for a year, and then I had to relearn how to walk. And then I started gradually getting worse and worse, where I had to use canes all the time, and I was in a lot of pain. And when I went to the Western doctors, they'd look at the x-rays and they'd say, you know, this is so smashed up in there that we can't do anything for you.
Hmm.
And that you can just, figure on being a cripple for the rest of your life and be in a lot of pain. And I thought, no, not for me.
So what did you do? Did you try different alternative things or what?
Well, up to that point, I was just with the Western doctors. I'm very athletic, you know. I like to hike and I like to bike. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept walking through the pain, and that caused my injury to get worse and worse because it was the left ankle. And actually both of the legs were messed up, but my right one healed really well, but the left one was getting worse. So at that point, I decided that I was going to do something very alternative and out of the box. I had heard about a psychic surgeon down in Brazil. His name is John of God. He's been doing this for more than 40 years, very successfully. He's the real deal. He has no qualms about having the Western or any kind of doctor come up to his stage where he's working and to examine things very, very closely as he works, to feel around for any so-called, you know, threads or things that, you know, are look like magic.
Oh, I see.
And okay. And then he actually gives them parts of the matter that he pulls out of the body.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he will give it to them and say, here, take this to a lab. You'll see that this is a legitimate part of the body that I was working on.
And what year did you go see him?
I went down there in 2000.
Okay.
And I've been back 5 times since.
And he's still around practicing, still to this
oh,
day?
Oh, yeah, more than ever. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going back down to see him in May.
Are there others that do what he does?
You know, I know there is, but they're more like kind of like the shaman. They do more of the ritual and the you know, working with herbs and smoke and things like that, and meditation and things like that. I have not met one that goes as deeply as he does, and just being in the little village where he is, it's based on a whole 10 feet of bed of crystal bedrock is under the town.
Oh, really? Crystal bedrock.
So, yeah, and so there's a very special energy.
Mm-hmm.
You feel very, very good. As a matter of fact, they have absolutely fabulous food, and you can eat your head off and not even gain a pound. As a matter of fact, you'll lose,
really?
You'll lose weight.
Wouldn't that be nice all the time, wouldn't it?
Yes, it's very nice.
Take some Twinkies. Take some Twinkies next time you go down there.
No, you have to eat the prescribed food,
okay,
which is all organic, out of their gardens. The chickens are all theirs. They have the organic beef. Everything is pure, beautiful, amazing food.
Mm.
You know, food.
That's awesome.
Processed food at all.
Yeah, something we get exposed to. So after you went to this man the first time, and you had immediate results, right?
Actually, I'd like to say that's how I got my story, is that while I was there, a little dog, his name was Chico, was well known in the village as to go to Posada. That's the place where we go and convalesce. And he would just know where he was supposed to be and who he was supposed to be with. He would come in and lay next to you, or if you didn't want him in your bed or whatever, he would lay under the bed in the area that needed to be worked on. And at that time, I also was having my lungs worked on. You can have as many as 9 things done to you while you're there.
Hmm.
So I had some history of smoking and then living in the valley for 21 years, you know, where the smog is so bad, it's like smoking every day.
Right.
And so I had some lung issues, and little Chico came in, and he just sat on my, right close to my lungs, and when I would turn to change positions, he would change positions as well.
Hmm.
So the next morning, I talked to to Martin. He's the master of the little dog. And I said, you have a very unusual dog here. And he says, oh, yes, and he's famous. He's been around the world. And I said, oh, tell me about that. And he said, well, at one time, someone wanted him so badly that they actually stole him.
Wow.
And took him to Canada, and nobody knew who it was or where he was, but they really needed their dog back. And so they rallied the whole village, and all of the people that came down to see John of God rallied, and all the officials, because they were pretty much in on knowing how valuable this dog was to them and what they were doing there. And so, you know, it just became a big, big united gathering for bringing this dog back. And so by the time that I met him, he had already come home.
Hmm.
So I thought, wow, what a fantastic story. And I said, you know, I'm an author. Could I please have this story? And they said, oh, sure, of course.
So
I left that I was there for 2 weeks, and I left that time without my canes and with my story. So the first one was a really good one.
And you've been back a few times since then. You planning?
I have, because what's happened over the years is that I'll have what's it called?
Flare-ups or what?
No, it's the stuff that grows in your foot. scar tissue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I go down and have that taken out.
And he doesn't do anything to you. He basically reaches around with psychic energy, removes these things, right?
He can do that, yes. He does two things. One is the physical surgery, and the person will be in an etheric anesthesia. They will stand on the stage, stand straight up, and then he will come and he will put a cut into you and pull out whatever needs to be pulled out, and then he will sew you up with one or two stitches. And the whole time, the people do not feel the pain, and then they are taken off to the infirmary, and they're allowed to heal and to be under special energy. And that I've heard that some people experience pain there, but those people need to know mentally that they have been worked on. Those are the people that choose that kind of a thing. Now, little squeamish people like me that get it, that believe that everything's good, they can select what is called psychic surgery, and it's just energetic. And what you do is you will go into this room, and then John of God will come into the room. And it's magical, because within, I think he's with us maybe 15 minutes, and he has done surgery on what may be up to 30 or 40 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
And he does that. Pardon?
It's just amazing, isn't it?
And
don't you think that all of us could probably do that? I mean, or he has a special gift, but don't you think all of us and also like animals in general could help healing?
Animals in general do help healing. They are very talented at being in the moment, and they don't have all the baggage that we carry and all the conditioning, and they just allow the energies to come through their body and the knowing to come through their body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like if they sense that their master is in a lot of pain, they'll go sit down where the pain is and then hold the energy for the energy to come through. And, of course, the body is an amazing, amazing machine. And so it kind of connects with that amazing machine and finds the right frequency. Mm-hmm. See, if our body knows the perfection. The body knows the perfect body. Mm-hmm. It remembers it. And so if we hurt it or mistreat it or whatever happens or just have an accident or something, the body will remember the perfection that it, you know, the perfection frequency. And if a like frequency comes in and sits next to the body, it will change into the perfect frequency. It will remind the body of its perfect frequency.
Is that, now this might be left field, but I just grab, when they come to me from the universe, I just spit them out. So
yeah, just spit away. Just hock that loogie.
You don't want me to do that. But you think that's how Jesus was healing people?
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know. I've been doing this for 50 years, and so many things that I've gone through and I've experienced, and actually in my book, what I do is I was given an ability, or I opened my third eye in the car accident, because during that car accident and I went into surgery, I actually died, and I was given a choice of coming back and completing or going on to my next life. but I chose to stay in this one because I was doing pretty darn good. And but what happened was, during that time, I was also, my third eye opened up, and that's when my life changed, because I was more aware of much more out there in the universe. It wasn't just my five senses, or, you know, it was more into my sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, another thing that I brought to my book was, while I was down there in Brazil, I was able to see the other side. I was able to see the entities. I was able to see the energy. I was able to see the machinery. I was able to see how they calculate working, you know, how they do everything, manipulate everything to help us heal. And I thought that was really fascinating. So I put it in my book.
So really, when we
look through the eyes of a dog.
Well, that's really cool. And the name of it is Dog of God, A Wild Romp Through Magical Worlds.
Yeah. I have to say, it's Dog of God, the novel, A Wild Romp Through Magical Worlds, because it's going to be a movie. It's going to be there's a children's book version of it. So that, I always say, the novel.
And you mixed a little bit of the fiction with facts, right, to tell the story.
Yeah, I had to tell a story. I had to keep people engaged. So I moved around a lot of the experiences I had into the story. But they are all based on actual stories I heard. Not only is there a dog that tells a story, but there's a lot of, there's a connection with a young girl who's in a coma. Now, that was a true story. It was extraordinary to watch that this young girl who was in a coma come back years later and being able to walk and talk and be a normal child. And she suffered, you know, not even being able to move her body when she first came to John of God. So I thought, that's an amazing, amazing story to tell. And then there's a lot of other stories. There's a doctor that's very skeptical, and he comes to see John of God, not to his, like he's doing a favor for somebody. And John of God said, can I help you with your heart? And he said, no, I'm good, I'm good. And he says, well, I can help you right now, because I can see that you have a condition that is, you know, needing a little bit of surgery. And he said, I'm good, I'm working with my doctor back home. And, you know, he just wasn't willing to accept what was going on. And lo and behold, he's the one that doesn't get to have the healing, and because of his ego and all of the stuff that he can't let go of, he then suffers a heart attack later on when he leaves. So,
and what happens to him after that then?
Well, he dies.
Oh, okay.
That's about it. That's all he gets for this
lifetime. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the
Continued, well, not my story, but
continued in the next lifetime.
Yeah. And okay. Excuse the cough. I'm coming off a little.
That's
cold.
Okay.
So anyway, where were we?
We were talking about, you talked about the doctor who went down there, but you also talked about, and I guess this is what popped in my head when you're talking about the dog, you know, you said that you, part of this book is about through the eyes of the dog, right?
Right, right.
And I was going to ask you, do you feel, now you say it's kind of like he's speaking, but maybe the dog was speaking to you to write this book.
Well, you know, it's so funny you should bring that up, because when I started writing the book, it started as a kid's book. And I went down, and Chico was there, and I told Martine, I said, here's, you know, it was more about his family and their relationship to Chico. And then I came home, and the book kept writing itself. And I talked to one of the guys that goes down. His name is Bob Dinga. He was the one that was helping me with the story and all the facts and all that. What a sweet man. anyway, he calls me up and he said, did you know Chico's passed over? And I said, oh, well, that explains that. And he said, why? What's going on? And I said, well, he's sitting here talking to me on my shoulder. You know, he's helping me write my book. So I truly believe there's, yeah, a lot of things going on in that area.
You know, we look at animals, and I'm guessing you don't see it this way, but a lot of people will look at animals and they think they're inferior, and it's like they're all part of this divine consciousness, and they all... We're all on this journey, and they actually literally can speak. And I've had actually pet psychics on my program before.
We've had
conversations with the animal. You know.
Yeah, and I really believe that you can speak to your dog. If you listen, the dog will speak to you. They'll do it through body language in the first, because that's how they can communicate to us. But if you listen, you will hear their little voice, you know,
mm-hmm.
and or a feeling. You will hear their feelings, and with that will come a voice. But unfortunately, we have to open up our minds to be able to accept that that's a possibility. And then once we can do pretty well with it. I know a lot of people that teach people how to talk to dogs and animals.
And now is really a good time for people, if they want to pursue this, to become it, because we seem to have entered a time when this is easier to do, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, this 2012 stuff is the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The energy on this planet right now has never been on the physical Earth before. So we are being gifted from other sources that are really concerned about us ruining this physical, we would call it a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very valuable. It's one of the fastest classrooms to come to know what loving is, to come to know what compassion is, and to come to know that we truly are a child of God. We are a part of God. We do godly things if we allow ourselves to do it, if mm-hmm. we allow ourselves to open to our infinite power. You know,
I've heard so many, and you've, I'm sure, had so many things, and maybe you've heard many things, but, you know, I listen to what you say, and it's like, and I've had my own things, and then there's like this is an amazing story. There's a man I talked to locally, and actually I was going to have him on my show. I've heard this from two people locally, where I live in Michigan, upper Michigan, kind of middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They said when they were kids, two different guys told me this.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of theirs was playing outside, and a vehicle ran him over and trapped the kid underneath the car. And without thinking, one of the boys went over there and lifted up the car and said, come on, let's get him out of here, and pulled the kid out.
He was a boy. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And it, to me, it's this moment of when we don't even think about it, and especially when you're younger like that, it just comes out, this greatness
right.
that's in all of us, this ability to do way more than we think we are capable of doing.
And that's what's going to become mainstream in the next decades, you know. It's moving so fast and furious.
Yes,
the thing
it is.
That people have to realize is forever for that power to come through, that innate, infinite wisdom to come through, we have got to unload the baggage. We've got to unload all of our misconceptions, our limited beliefs, our hatred, our feelings of revenge, all of the lower energies. We have got to let go of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I work 24/7 on myself. That's why I don't leave a bridge uncrossed, you know. I make sure that all my relationships are you know, up to the loving level, you know. Even if I don't see them, and even if they hate me, I am taking responsibility
mm-hmm.
for finding the loving within myself.
So, and really, do you really have to see them? Because if we're all connected through thought, you could just do that, send out that message in thought and emotion behind it. And
absolutely. I mean, it's so proven how valuable and powerful the simple act of prayer is. The simple act of blessing someone, the simple act of seeing somebody not be suffering, but being in the light of joy and happiness, you know?
It's you know what's
very,
also,
very powerful.
You know what else is great about a chair? You save a lot on postage. You really do.
Yeah, and airplane flights
yeah,
and all
too.
That.
All those taxis, gas. Yeah, it's
And guess what? Guess what? Mm. If everybody would do that, you know, just pay, just mind their own business and just love themselves, could you imagine what this planet would be like?
Well, I think
we'd have no more war.
We're heading in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else would you like to tell me about this book? Because that's what we're really here to promote.
Okay. Well, I would like to say that this book answers questions of how do miraculous healings actually occur.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Oprah and Wayne Dyer worked with John of God, that was the question they asked. How does this all happen?
Mm-hmm.
So, because I was able to see the other side and just really be a witness to what actually was going on, and I've met other people since that have concurred with what I see, you know, so it's not just me making things up. This is, we actually are connected to other beings, other entities, other that are so on our side, that are so wanting us to get it, that are so wanting us to have a wonderful, wonderful life, you know, way beyond our greatest, you know, our biggest dreams, you know?
But
it's just, yeah.
Don't we kind of know that before we even come here? Isn't there a part of ourself that already knows that, and people might call it your higher self?
I sure hope that people would know that about themselves.
And is it like when we come here?
A lot of our conditioning, you know, negates that. But yes, I totally concur with that.
So when we come here, because this is why I'm always thinking, well, how come we don't know that? I mean, shouldn't we know that if we're connected to God directly? So when we come here, we forget, or we lose because we're kind of removed from that.
Yeah. What it is we come in as babies. We're still connected.
Mm-hmm.
We still get it. We see babies talking to other side. You know, talking to the other side. They have. So they have little friends, Then about 3 o'clock, about 3 years old, that shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go, what is called the curtain of knowledge comes over us, and then we are limited in what we can perceive. But you can open that all up through meditation, through positive thinking, going out and being in nature and communing with nature, just being in the moment, then that information gradually all comes back to you. But it first has to get back, get past all the yammer, all the I can't do this, I'm not good enough,
right.
I'm not worthy, It has to get past all of that first.
Mm-hmm. That's
I
why
mean, to really have it in full.
That's why they say faith or belief is always required, I think, because we're the ones that dictate that. Whatever we believe, it seems like in this, where we live, in this world, whatever we believe is what we are. We create our world around us.
Yeah, I believe that we are magnets, that the consciousness has a magnetic field, that if we have negative thoughts, if we have negative, we think hateful thoughts towards people, we blame others for our problems, that's what we get back. We get back negative.
Law of attraction.
You know, they say whatever goes out comes around,
mm-hmm.
but it comes back tenfold. So, you know, think good, because you get that back tenfold, you know. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, really.
Give yourself a break.
Stop hating everybody.
Yeah, this hate stuff is...
It's really about letting go, too. I think, you know, so much of we're going to have to let go of it all eventually. So I find in my life it's like...
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. I'm going to use it, if you don't mind.
No. Just a royalty, a little couple cent royalty every time it comes up. That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm kidding. But so this is what's taught me my life. You know, I had to let go of my parents, yet they both came back to me from the other side. And I've had to let go of animals in my life, and they've come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that they go on. And so to me, it's this great lesson of I really don't own anything.
Right.
Not even this body, you know?
Well, you own your ability. Viktor Frankl says you have ability of choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is prevalent in this classroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we came here to do.
But this is
to have a choice. That cannot be taken away from us. I don't care who's doing it.
But this is like an illusion, isn't it? Would you say, Cher? It's kind of.
I would say this. Yeah, this classroom is definitely illusion.
Because the beings you saw,
mm-hmm.
are they just like, how would you describe them? Energy beings?
Some of them are energy beings. Some of them are angels. And a lot of them are incarnated with John of God. They are actual incarnated doctors.
Mm.
They've been on the planet before. They know how to deal with our insecurities, you know. Sometimes they come off a little abrupt and maybe not compassionate enough, but that's because they see when John of God works on you, he works on all levels, not just the physical level. He works on your karma, your what you came here to do, what your agreement was when you came here. He sees all of that before he's able to do his work. And if he can, and if you are in agreement with moving this disease out of your body, if you are finished with the karma, if you're finished with that lesson, then you have instant magic healing,
mm-hmm.
instantly,
mm-hmm.
because you are aligned with that frequency of letting go. But if he sees that you're still here and you haven't got your karma worked out, you haven't learned your lesson yet, and this is teaching you, why in the world would he want to take away, a teacher?
Right.
Why in the world would he want to take away that opportunity for you to move into that space? So, you know, not everyone walks away healed,
mm-hmm.
but they walk away better because they know more about themselves. And plus just being there in that energy. And that was a place that I first found that we are all one people. I mean, we are all one. We are one with God. When I saw people walking down the street, all dressed in white, all of us very, very humbled because this was our last chance.
Mm-hmm.
This is our last chance to have a physical body that works for us, that carries us, and brings us our dreams. Now, that humbles the heck out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego doesn't come in very often. And when it does, it just creates all kinds of havoc that has nothing to do with your healing. But when you're there, everything is magnified 10 times. So if you have thoughts that are bringing your disease, you will have those thoughts again. And then as you deal with it, I felt like, when I had pain in my body, all I had to say was thank you, and the pain would go because I was in frequency of accepting.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't, then I had pain in my body.
Wow.
So there's so much to learn down there. That's why I keep going down there.
Has he written a book or anything? Or
pardon?
Has he written a book?
There's a wonderful book out. It's done by Heather Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called John of God. It's one of the best books I've read about
mm-hmm.
him as a man and his work and the experience you have in Abidjania. And, it's very, 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 very good. But you go in the bookstore down there, and there's like, there's got to be about 10 or 15 books there. And and also... And I'm going to bring my book down there. And, I'm going to give it to them as a donation and whatever proceeds
they
have will go to them.
Do they charge a lot of money for people to go see them?
No. Actually, in Brazil, it's very inexpensive to stay at the Fadas. You have a lot to choose from. You can stay very inexpensively. And John of God refuses to take any money.
Mm-hmm.
For what he does, for his service, because he was born in dire poverty, and he was as a matter of fact, there's a great story about he was 14 years old. He had dropped out of school to be able to work for his family. They were so hungry, and he was out looking for work, and he hadn't eaten all day, and he hadn't eaten for a couple days, And so he was just feeling very, sluggish or whatever. And he meets this woman walking on the road, and she said, "Oh, are you looking for work?" And, of course, he said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, if you go down, there's a meeting room down the street, and there's, like, about 20 people there, and you can find some work there." So he goes down, he walks in, and he immediately falls into a faint. I mean, just completely passes out. Now, he thinks he's doing this because he's so hungry. He wakes up about 2 hours later. He has healed everybody in the room.
Huh.
And all of a sudden, you know, they are his advocates, and they will help him to now step into being the healer that he is now today.
Wow.
So,
how does he then sustain himself? I mean, if he doesn't take any money, somehow he has to have shelter and food.
Yeah, well, he works as a tailor. I
really?
Think he's worked as a car
really?
Salesman. I'm not real sure about
really?
That one.
Wow.
But yeah, he this is another great story. They were wanting money so that they could keep him. He was working in the brick factory, and they wanted him. And at night he would heal people, and his group wanted him to work just entirely on healing. And they didn't have any money to support that. And so the entities came and said, "If you go over to this little plot of land and get everybody to put a little money in and buy that plot of land, we will bring an income for you." Well, they looked at the land. There was nothing on it. It didn't look like it even could grow anything. But they believed in what the entities were saying, so they pooled all their money together. We bought that little plot of land. And lo and behold, it turns out to be an emerald mine was underneath there. Yeah.
Trust the entities, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he has a crystal cave and an emerald mine, and that helps him. And, you know, it's just the goodness of heart. When I go down there, I donate because
right.
it's such a, you know, what he's done is that he has been able to, you know, once you generate money, it just comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Through donations, whatever, and it's a magnet, you know. And he is actually, and I'm so, it just kind of like chokes me up to even talk about this, but through Martin and Fernanda and John of God, and I'm sure a lot of other people, but Fernanda was the one that ran the ship, and she put together a beautiful, what was called the soup kitchen. Well, actually, it's more than that. You go in, it's a wonderful place to be. It's got a nice environment. They make a soup that's imbued with all kinds of healing energy. So that's all you really need to eat. And anybody can come in and have that soup. And also, you can go to a room and they have beautiful clothes that have been donated. I mean, just beautiful things. And then they have, like, a room for parties, and they will set up a party for, for anything. And, I mean, it's just a wonderful community place for this small little village that's now growing because, you know, John of God's there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But, and I get to know that my donations help put that together. You know, I've got a little brick somewhere that I pay for.
How many people do you think, and maybe this is an unrealistic question, but how many people do you think go to see this man every year? Any idea on that?
Well, he can heal as many as 1,000 people at a time.
Hmm.
So he works for 3 days every week. And within that time, there's 1,000 people that come through.
Don't you find it curious that Western medicine does not even in any way look at this?
You know, there's a lot of ego in medicine.
Mm.
There's a lot of money, you know, that doesn't want to. A lot of, you know, people that are receiving a lot of money that don't want to let go of it. So, you know, you just deal with them, let them be who they want to be. And they'll come into their own, you know. But that's what's so great about, you know, John of God, is that people come down there, be as sarcastic as they want, and he's very open to letting that experience come forward and see the truth of it.
Yeah, they get humbled pretty quick, I bet.
Yeah, and I think the 2012 stuff, that energy is moving a lot of the greed out into not so much. There's a lot of greedy people, but what's moving it out is the truth. The truth is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
People can't keep secrets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They just cannot.
I agree with you.
Wow.
And that's why I do this show, to be honest with you. That's why I started doing this show. To
I love your show.
Cool. And I love you, Cher. You're awesome.
Oh, I love you, too. Oh, love that. But that's the way it goes. It's just like, you know, once you get into that, that is the truth. We all love each other.
Mm-hmm.
That we got this ego that says, you know, I'm better than you.
Yes.
That's such an illusion.
It's very tricky. The ego, it tries to, you know, just when you think you're this big, humble person and something happens, the ego goes, well, you don't have to put up with that. And it's like, shut up, ego. I really don't need you. Well, maybe you should be further up in line than these other. I'm good where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more you rally, not against the ego, because it will take over,
mm-hmm.
but the more that you empower your positive thinking and empower yourself into knowing what the truth is about yourself, that you are a magical creature, a magnificent creature that has something to give, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're all very, very unique, and that if we believe in that uniqueness, we give gifts. We've come here to give gifts, and the gift is helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even just your presence, walking to the room, because you've been able to lift as much as you can from your body, it carries a whole big, huge energy.
Right.
And you can come in and fill that whole room. There could be thousands of people in it. You could fill that whole room with the energy that you carry and energy that they need. And, you know, and who knows what happens when people are able to receive that energy. I mean, you know, healings could happen.
Right.
You think?
But people are really healing themselves more than anything.
Well, yeah, you have to. Because that's, you know, that's what we're about.
It's not like when John does this stuff, he's not going, I am reaching in and healing. It's like he's basically raising your vibration up. This is the way I see
exactly.
Jesus.
And he's reminding your body of what it really is.
And so by just being around that kind of vibration and Jesus and other masters who've walked the mm-hmm. earth that could heal people, we are therefore remembering. Now, we could walk away from that. Because I always wondered about these healings in the Bible. Now, like, did a week later, did Lazarus just keel over because Jesus, his higher vibration was not there? And so, not a week later.
But once you remind the body is there. You know, the God within ourself is there.
Right, but
it's
if we're not
like we need to. See, that's the problem some people get themselves into, is that they feel like they don't have that energy. They don't have that God within them. And that they have to use somebody else's energy.
Right.
And that happens with incarnated spirit, you know, what are called ghosts.
Well,
they are flying around because they are on the misconception that they don't have their own energy source. So they fly around like they have an alcoholic thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find somebody that's also an alcoholic that's in a physical body. And they'll just plug right into it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they'll drain them.
That's the problem with drugs. You have big holes in your aura, and they can just come right in.
I guess my point on this was, is that there are those that truly believe it and hold it steady. You really have to hold it steady at all times. We all could be doing what John does. And so we get around that vibration, and we're holding it steady for the time being. And I look at, like, an example being Jesus. The disciples all could do what he did when they were in his presence.
Yeah.
When they
yeah.
walked away from that,
yeah.
they became human again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
yeah.
some of them ascended. I don't know. But this is my point on that, is that we don't always stay in that vibration. And we return back to well, I guess I'm just a human being, and I'm worthless, and I'm useless, and I can't do what others have done. And I think it's so easy because most of the world's vibration is like that. But this is the great shift that is taking place. Mm-hmm. And those energies are coming here now. And so there will be a time when we won't have to struggle against that as much. Right. And it's already changing.
Yeah, yeah. The time is now.
And so we will now, it'll be easier to go, well, I am divine. And I am part of this. And I think part of it also, and this is, you know, where I've explored a good part of my life share. There are those energies that don't want that to change.
Exactly.
And that's why it's been difficult. And they're going to
It's been on this planet for so long. It's dominated for so long.
And they're going to go
comfortable.
They're going to go, you know what? I guess this isn't for me anymore. See ya. Catch my next show on Planet Z or wherever. They're going to take off and go somewhere else, is what I think.
Oh, the naysayers?
The energies that have been keeping us kind of locked up for a long time.
I think that...
Or are they going
to
change?
A little bit more to that. The energy of the God energy, the Jesus energy, the love, is always here.
Right.
And so if somebody goes somewhere else, they still have that energy.
Right. But there may be a planet where, I guess what I've learned through all this process that's changing is that it's kind of an agreement. These energies were allowed to kind of run things for a long time. Now the divine feminine and all these other energies are returning and going, well, okay, agreement's over. And these other ones are going, no, wait. And it's like, and what happens to them at that point? Do they get absorbed?
Well,
or do they just be allowed to go? Because I would think in the universe, you have freedom.
The thing that this is my prayer. I don't choose to see them going anywhere or dissolving, which can happen. I've seen some souls do such travesty that their souls go into a place called the void.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually they work themselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always come back to God where God is, you know?
Absolutely.
But my belief, and this is what I empower, is that each one of us has that God knowing within us, and that this new energy that's on the planet is a wake-up call, and it's waking people up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how mean and cruel you are, the more mean and the more cruel you are, the heavier your life becomes. Mm-hmm. It all comes and hits you right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have your whole family taken away from you, everything that you've ever, ever... had, like, you know, the Madoffs that end up in jail and have hurt so many people. I mean, what does he have now? He has himself in jail, hopefully he's looking at himself and saying, oh, I really need to reevaluate my life. I really need to give back. I really need to do something to step into being a kind and considerate and compassionate person. Who knows? He may be going, you know, whatever.
Right.
Whatever he's gone through, that's his business. But what I'm saying is there is an energy now that says, you are part of God, you are part of this, and come on, this is where the real power is.
Mm-hmm.
All this greed and all that stuff, there's no power there.
Right.
I mean, I go to these seminars where there's multimillionaires, and they wake up and they say, you know, I have everything in the world, and I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything, and I have nothing. And then when they find out that they really do have something, that there is a connection to God, and that by giving back, you're completing a cycle. It's like whatever you receive, you give back.
Mm-hmm.
And that completes a cycle. So that nobody should really be in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should really be, suffering. That is not the real state of things. But
no.
We're all learning that that is a fallacy, that that's an illusion. And that's why this classroom is so valuable.
And I guess what I'm saying also is the reason we have to learn that is because it's been the other way for so long.
Yeah.
And now... The truth is coming, the light is coming, the change is happening, and the ones that have been perpetrating this old system, and those are ones that are
it's called fear.
And these old
fear.
These
that's
are ones
how it controls people.
And fear. I also say that these ones are not physical beings, and they've been away from the light, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they're either going to join the light. They'll say, well, there it is. Or they're going to go, you know, I still don't want to do that. And I think they will have that option to go wherever it is they're going to go. But it won't be here. There will be a day. And there's a good friend of mine. Her name is Joy. And maybe someday you can talk to her because the two of you are very similar. And
okay.
She says heaven will be a place on earth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it is already.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was walking down the street walking my dogs, and I looked up at the clouds, and I'm going, and they were like kind of this drab pink and drab blue, and I was feeling kind of like, oh, those are the colors of depression, and I'm like poetically thinking about these clouds are depressed, and all of a sudden I just had this urge to turn around. I turned around, and there was the most magnificent sunset in progress.
Hmm.
All the light was shining through the clouds in these brilliant, brilliant colors. It was so magnificent. People were pulling over the side of the road just to sit and watch it. And I'm going, I get it. We have a choice.
We always do.
We can look at the depressed clouds, or we can turn around and look at the glorious sunset. Because that's the truth.
And life is such a great opportunity.
Yeah.
To come here. It may not always seem that way.
Yeah,
but because of some of the difficulties, but the opportunity to be something we're not. I always think, you know, okay, we're really not, we're more just like matter or energy or thought. And this is like a grand experiment to see what it would be like to occupy something like a physical body.
Yeah.
And
it
have
is.
This
it's a great opportunity.
And then also, I kind of look at it this way too, since we're saying just anything that comes to us. God is always expanding. His consciousness is always expanding. And we're little pieces of God. And so he's living through our experiences. And not just here, but in places we're not even aware of.
Yeah.
And so without that, I almost believe that this thing we know as God, this creator, this loving being, I don't know if it would exist. I think it's always always expanding, always, and we're always expanding.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we do what we do, so we can expand it. So every time that we come into a higher knowing, a raising of consciousness, do you know that we take 1,000 other souls and automatically lift them along with us?
No, I didn't know
that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I've seen it happen.
You've seen it happen?
Yeah, I was in school, and I had an aha moment, and it was like I was crying. I was in so much joy and just in reverence of my new discovered awareness. And we went into a meditation. All of a sudden, I'm on this stage, and I'm looking out over these lights. And they go on for infinity, little points of light. And then all of a sudden, they just one by one, they start spiraling up. They start lifting. And I'm going, oh, shoot. And they said, this is for you. This is what you accomplished by coming into your own awareness.
Hmm.
I mean, this is a pretty magical place we have here.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there's no limitations. Maybe we're going to find out. You know, I'm thinking if others have done it before, there's no limitations, really. When we truly come to that state of what some call maybe super consciousness, where we could heal ourselves, our bodies would not have to get old, all of those things. We could we could create it in an instant.
Yeah.
Don't even need a microwave.
We're already doing it in places where people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Already doing it. But the thing that I find that helps me so much is every opportunity that looks like it's, suffering or, you know, something happened, like I'm just going through a divorce right now. And it's like I'm looking at it in a whole different way. Mm-hmm. It's like a gift. Everything that comes to me that has the guise of not being what I need or what I want, that's a lie. It is a pure, unadulterated gift.
So I really like what you said earlier. And you said, and what a great way to release it. Thank you. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, just being, I went to the University of Santa Monica for spiritual psychology, got my master's there. And one of the things that we are encouraged to do is every time we wake up, just and you know, a lot of people do this, but what's her name? I can't remember it right now. But anyway, they wake up, we wake up and say, thank you. Mm-hmm. And just look at everything we have and look at the feeling of being able to breathe. You know, we're still breathing our body, and that's the God within us. Mm-hmm. What else does that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who breathes this? And just thanking that breathing, thanking the comfort of the bed, thanking the pets that are sleeping with us, you know, thanking the building for holding us and making us safe, secure place. And if we can really come from that appreciation, then all the pain moves.
It's like that
pain cannot be there when you're in appreciation.
It's like that, because it's so easy to take things for granted, even if you're humble. But that old Eddie Murphy joke, and
I love Eddie Murphy.
And he does the one where he goes, just imagine if all you had was these plain old crackers, and you ate those all the time. You got the plain old crackers, and then somebody gives you a Ritz cracker, and you go, this is the best cracker on the planet. Where'd you get this? This is a Ritz cracker. I love these. You know, it's like, to you, you appreciate that more. And some people now would say, well, it's just a Ritz cracker. But is it? And so it's honoring all things. Is there anything else you want to add? How can we get your book? Can we go to Amazon website?
Amazon.com. I'm there. You have to go to Dog of God, the novel.
Okay. Dog of God, the novel. We'll post that information on my website.
Thank you.
And do you have a website you want to promote?
You know, I'm putting it up. It's still in being put up. So just go to Amazon for now. And okay. Also, if you go to Balboa Press, that's who I, they're a subsidiary of Hay House. So if you go to balboapress.com,
okay.
They also have anything you want to know there for me.
Cool.
And yeah, that's my publisher.
Is there anything you want, any parting thoughts you want to leave with people that are listening?
Oh, gosh. Just be open to moving out of your stuff. It's really worth it to get to the other side. It's like when you climb a mountain, you know, the climb up is where you learn all the things, but when you get to the top and you look down, and it's you step into a whole new world. And it's worth the climb. Just keep going, doing the best you can. And, you know, change your thoughts moment to moment and be in the now. Be in the now.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you speaking with me, Cher Slater Barlevy from Venice Beach, and perhaps we can speak again.
I would love that, and I appreciate speaking to you and speaking to everybody out there, and I hope you're listening because I would love it.
Thank you, Cher.
All right, sweetie. Thank you so much.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.